And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide, the athletic dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portstein with you on a, what even is today? Thursday afternoon. Blue Jackets just finishing up about a 45-minute skate in the ice house. Topic of the day, where the hell is Elvis Merzlikins? The Blue Jackets supposed number one goaltender has not played since December 29th. He's been a healthy scratch in more than a couple games since then. They've turned it over to Danil Tarasov, with Spencer Martin taking a couple of starts in there as well. What is going on? Finally got to ask Pascal Vincent that question today. He said, we're taking this time, given where this team is, what it says in the standings, to look at Tarasov. Now, I'm paid to be not a skeptic, not a cynic, but a skeptic at times. And I think this is one of those cases, something is up. Are they trying to trade Elvis Merzlikins? Are they wanting to trade Elvis Merzlikins? Why? Elvis was playing pretty well. I think he could certainly be better, but he is a dramatically better goalie than he was last season, to his credit. This is not a performance demotion. I've poked around on this. This is not a punitive demotion. In other words, it's not something that's happened, either the Tom Wilson incident. He played two games after that. And it doesn't appear that there's anything behind the scenes that has led to this. But here's the other thing that makes this strange and doesn't really give an air of validity to Pascal Vincent's explanation of them just turning this over to see what Tarasov has. That's exactly what so many people have wanted them to do with this season, starting about 2 months ago with the young players. In other words, let's see Fantilli at the number one center. It took Boone Jenner's injury for that. Let's see more ice time for David Yiricek. That's still hit or miss. They have not turned this over to the young players this year. They've sought short-term wins more than they have experience. Now, there's an argument to be made there. Of course, I'm not going to suggest I know more NHL players than Pascal Vincent does, nor should anybody most likely listening to this podcast. Nothing against us. He knows how to develop players. But there have been some nights where it looks like Fantilli's going and he ends up playing 13 minutes and you don't see him in overtime or he's not on the power play. I don't like him stepping out of the circle when the draw's on the right side of the ice. I want him to get experience taking all of those draws. Lose them now. Learn now. his explanation, excuse me, that Tarasov, so I pressed him a little bit on that today. We'll get to your questions and your comments, I swear, in a bit. I feel this is of interest to you, though. Why approach the goaltending differently? You've resisted exposing young player situations early in the season. And his explanation was Tarasov's not a young guy. And that's fair. He's 25. But still, you're playing, by your explanation, you're playing a player down on the depth chart ahead of the starter because of the standings, because of what the season now means. So, I don't know. Curious to get your thoughts on that. We can talk about anything else. If you want to talk about the game in Winnipeg, I feel like that was a big old L. Not like some other L's that this team has suffered in recent years. Not a complete lack of showing up, just a complete a domination by a team that's really playing well right now and is kind of a model for maybe what the Blue Jackets are trying to build here. Interesting that Pascal Vincent helped develop many of those players. So, yeah, we can talk about that. We can talk about the World Juniors, Gavin Brindley's performance. Petechuk, I poked around on Jordan Dumé, who was in Columbus last weekend, to have his hips checked out. Jarmo Kekalainen is not willing to say anything about that as of yet, but I get the sense that something is coming. I'm not sure what that is. I don't care to speculate. But Dumé was hobbled by the hips. And if you're his perspective, and this is something that needs to be fixed, and it's going to require some time out of the lineup, I think maybe all parties except the Halifax Mooseheads would agree that now is probably the best time to do that. So, yeah, let's get to your questions, your comments. We can converse in multiple ways. We can welcome you to the stage where you can ask your own question, and we can have a conversation there, or we can handle this via you posting comments in the text field. First question from Daniel S. On the lack of trade fronts with the wings and the defense, do you get the sense that there's not a deal to be made beyond future considerations? Or is Kekalainen holding out for a high-level compensation? In other words, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, Dan, it's a good question. I mean, I think for so long, what teams wanted to do was quashed by what the salary cap would allow them to do. And now, as we're moving beyond the midpoint of the season, well, Columbus is, the rest of the league isn't. Those salary cap hits are now roughly half. So that is becoming easier. It's only going to get easier as you get closer to March. Right? And for a lot of these teams, I think, you know, there's not a ton of urgency even now. There should be from the Columbus perspective, but I don't think you want to trade. You don't want to be the trading party that is urgent to trade. And a lot of these teams are why not wait and see what you really need closer to the trade deadline? I think that's the play for a lot of these teams right now. And so, yeah, I'm not sure what the trade market is. And frankly, the guys that Columbus would be willing to trade, Peak, Boqvist, who? Hemstrom. I'm not sure there's a huge market for those guys. I think what's really interesting to see, I think there's two really overarching interesting questions the rest of the way. And the first one, maybe the biggest one, is what does Jarmo Kekalainen have the authority to do? Is anything changed? Are there indications that maybe this is not going to be his team going forward? No indication of that. But I don't think it would surprise anybody if there was a GM change in Columbus this spring or before next season. Again, no one said a peep about that. No one is going to say a peep about that. There's not going to be hints. There's not going to be revelations of consideration. We're considering no one's going there. No one's going there. But what do people around the league, what kind of indication do they get when they talk to the Blue Jackets? Is this business as usual or have things changed? The second thing is, what do the Blue Jackets do with their highly priced players, some of their prominent veterans? Is Line A available? Now, Johnny Gaudreau has a full no move this season and beyond. So that's not, I don't think, a consideration. And I'm not sure that should be a consideration. I think Line A is probably in a little different situation now, where do you have enough
info to say it's just not working here. He's again out of the lineup injured. You're not trading from a high spot for sure on him. But is it time to clear some space for the young players in this lineup? I think of it this way. Right now they are without Corrali, Jenner, and Laine. Which of those guys is the hardest to fit back into the lineup? And can you live without that guy? To me, it's Laine. I'm not saying they should. I'm not. I know from time to time. But who's the hardest guy to fit back in? Who are you sitting to get Laine back in? You going to bump Marchenko down? Wouldn't think so. You going to bump bump Gaudreau down? I wouldn't think so. What do you do with Jenner? I think you could stick him in on the wing with Fantilli and Gaudreau and have a really interesting line and a pretty good support for Fantilli come faceoff wise. Do you move Chinnikov out to get a line in? I wouldn't think so. Johnson? I don't know. So have they reached a point where it's time to consider that? I think those are the two big questions the rest of the way. And again, if you're going to move Laine, that's a substantial trade. If you're the owner of this team, if you're John Davidson, the president of this team, are you still on board with Jarmo Kekalainen making that call? I think that's a fair question. Again, by asking it, I'm not answering it. Just simply asking it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Blue Jackets play Seattle on Saturday, and then a weird Monday game at 1 p.m. Now, I think I'd have to go back and look through the weird COVID season and see if there were other examples of this. Because things were so knocked out of whack then, I think there may have been. But I don't remember them ever playing a weekday game. And this, of course, is MLK Day. So certainly a day worth celebrating. And I know teams around the league have had Columbus Day games. Odd that Columbus has never had that. But 1 o'clock game on Monday. And even stranger, it's against Vancouver, which for those guys is going to feel like a 10 a.m. game. But first up is Saturday. Getting back to the Elvis Merzlikins thing, a few more things to share on that. If you want to ask a question, fire it into the text field or step to the stage. Pascal Vincent would not say who he has starting Saturday. So he had three goalies on the ice again today: Merzlikins, Tarasov, and Spencer Martin. But he would not say who's starting Saturday. Actually, he said he hasn't decided yet, so I'll take him at his word. One other thing I want to get to, and this gets back to the development of players we touched on earlier. It's been pointed out by me and others how little some of the young players have played, the guys who you would expect to be really sort of immersed in a larger role right now, given what the season is. I think that's been fair. At least I think I can defend what I've said and written about it. I also think we have to look at it this way. Is Chinnikov a better player than he was last season or at the start of this season? And the answer is yes. Is Sillinger a better player than he was last season or at the start of this season? I think the clear answer there is yes. I think Johnson is as good now as he was at points last season, but is better than he was early in the season, certainly. Is Juracek better than he was early in the season? Not sure about that. I think he's marginally better than he was early this season. Maybe a person who's an expert on defensemen would see otherwise. Is Marchenko a better player than he was last season and early this season? I think all of this season he has looked like a noticeably different player this year than he did last year. I think he plays in traffic more. I think he hangs on to the puck longer. I think he's a more complete forward. So, yeah, the point of this is, Voronkov, has he come a long way in a short time? He has. The point of this is, in the short term, I think maybe Pascal Vincent has taken some criticism that if you look at things in the long term, you might see differently, and you might tip your cap to him and the other coaches, and, of course, the players who are the ones making the advancements for becoming better players. And I was thinking about this today, speaking with Dave Metzold at the practice at the Ice House. If the Blue Jackets come out of this season with Sillinger, Fantilli, and Voronkov as their 1, 2, 3 centers, you know what? It's been a pretty good year. It's been a really good year. Forget the record for a second. It's been a really good year in terms of development and just learning what you have. I wrote the other Blue Jackets are a bit like a platypus right now. They're this sort of strange animal that you're not really sure what to make of it. It does. It feels like the Blue Jackets are in the middle of some sort of evolutionary adaptation that you can't really see where it's going yet. That's a very uneasy place to be. But I think if you look at this team from October to now, a lot of things have become clear, and some lines are making sense. Voronkov can play center. Yes, Marchenko is a proven goal scorer in the NHL, a top six guy. This is what Igor Chinnikov is. I think there's still a lot of room for him to develop. There's certainly consistency there. There are some nights he's dramatically better than he is other nights. That needs to level off. But I think we know a lot more about Chinnikov now than we did. It looks like Sillinger's game has been salvaged or at least rekindled. That's a much better word. He looked lost at times last season. Doesn't look lost now. He looks like a player now. So those are the things I would say. It looks like we're having some trouble here with the app getting the ability to interface with some of the aspects of this app. And so I'm going to wrap it up here in a couple of minutes. And if it's something we feel like we can fix immediately, maybe we'll circle back. We've had to do this a few times before. Trying to think if there's anything else we need to cover if this is a wrap. Some news out of Cleveland yesterday. Not just Coach Trent Vogelhuber going to the AHL All-Star Game, but three of the Blue Jackets prospects up there in Cleveland. Jake Christensen, the defenseman. Trey Fix-Wolanski, the winger. And Jet Greaves, the goaltender. It's going to be a very well-represented organization at the AHL All-Star Game. That is not the NHL All-Star Game, I'll grant you. Right now, only Boone is on that team. But still, if you're talking and you're looking forward to the wave of talent that's coming, I think the one guy out of there that you're probably most excited for is Jet Greaves. He has not been considered an NHL-caliber prospect for the last couple of years by many. I think he's starting to change that. With the way that he has handled the number one job in Cleveland. Every job the organization gives this kid, he grabs and tackles and excels with. And he's doing that again as the number one in Cleveland. I think it's been very interesting the way the Blue Jackets have kept three goalies. That's been sold as we want to see if Tarasov is healthy. I wonder now if they don't want to see if Elvis is expendable. The one thing they don't want to do is rush Jet Greaves to the NHL. And I don't think they worry about him playing a game here, a game there. I don't think they worry about him coming up late in the season for games when it reaches that point. But they want his development to be smart, slow, and steady. And I think that's probably a good idea. One more thing about Elvis, and then I'll let you go. For me, like, this idea that they're going to trade Elvis, I wonder about. And I think his play this year has helped. Of course it has. But I still think, I'm still not sure if I'm a team with a really good, if I'm a GM with a really good team, if his play this year is enough to convince me that last year's performance and the year before even are far enough behind in the rearview mirror. So there'd be some uncertainty there, for sure. I think the bigger questions are, is Elvis the type? I think the Tom Wilson stuff scares people. Is he the type that you can turn your team over to? And that's what people want when they're paying a goalie $5.5 million and calling him their number one. They have to be a foundational piece. Is Elvis stable enough? Is he trustworthy enough? Is he a leader enough to be that for a really good hockey team? I think there are GMs, fairly or not, who have that question. I think the term of the contract scares the shit out of people, to be honest with you, too. So, on one level, you say, well, they can trade Elvis if they're willing to take something back. I'm not sure that that's even the case when you're talking about a guy who needs to be a number one goaltender. I'm not sure that's enough. Like, I'm not sure there's a market for him, even if people can balance out the money, because I think there's enough uncertainty surrounding him and his reputation. Not that he's a bad guy. He's not a bad guy. But he's not everyone's flavor either. And I think he could be, his personality can be challenging in certain rooms. I think Elvis would probably admit that. Elvis declined to comment today. He is most likely to speak tomorrow. We shall see. But that's the news of the day from the ring. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks for your patience. I assume your patience. Okay, talk to y'all later. Take care.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.